Welcome to Foul Players Radio, your podcast for arts, entertainment, and pop culture. My name is Michael Spedden, your host. Every episode features interesting people with fun, fascinating stories about their journeys in the performing arts. Authors, actors, musicians, dancers, athletes, comics, you name it. Sit back, relax, and have a listen. Let's have some fun. Foul Players Radio is a proud production of the Foul Players Group and a proud member of the SJ Network. And welcome again to the quarantine edition of Foul Players Radio. My name is Michael Spedden. Tonight's guest is Robert Long. Robert is an actor and a filmmaker who runs the website www.smashortrashindiefilmmaking.com. His website has lots of great information for indie filmmakers, reviews, how-to columns, news on upcoming releases, and a lot more. We discuss past projects, especially two that we've appeared in together, and discuss our favorite horror movies. Subscribe to Foul Players Radio for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Castro, CastBox, Overcast, and iHeartRadio. We'll be back with Robert Long right after these words. Hello, listeners. I've got some great news from one of our former guests. Barbara Bustard has just released a book called The Art of Healing, 12 step-by-step meditative art exercises for improved physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Miss Bustard bares her soul and shows us who she is through her stories and exercises. This is a book to be felt and experienced, an artist's work. Art is a way to work through all that life gives us, whether it is happy, sad, or anything in between. Art is a creative, safe, healing, and everything special place. It is the place to work through the stress that underlies all disease. In her book, The Art of Healing, 12 step-by-step meditative art exercises for improved physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, Miss Bustard describes the process to make healing happen. The meditative exercises in this book are described in a very simple, clearly articulated manner. They are appropriate for any level of artistic experience. Just reading this book, Miss Bustard's exercises touch you at a feeling level. You are moved from your thinking analytical brain to creative expression. It is available now on Amazon for $29, and it's gotten many positive reviews from readers so far. So pick up your copy today. Her website is artforbodymindandsoul.com. Also remember, the holidays are just around the corner. We all love to support our local small businesses and artists. Make sure you get your copy today. It makes a great gift. Foul Players Radio is now a proud affiliate of the SJ Network. If you're a performer, an actor, musician, filmmaker, author, you name it, in need of a good publicist, call Steve Joyner, 816-605-4561, or you can email him at stevesjnetwork@gmail.com. He has many years of experience in the entertainment business. He's competent, confident, and takes great care of his clients. He would be the publicist for you. Call Steve at 816-605-4561 or stevesjnetwork@gmail.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Chris Rastali of Breaking the Fourth Wall. If you enjoy our show, you can find it on YouTube. Just look up Realm of the Mist Entertainment, or just look up Realm of the Mist Entertainment on Anchor.fm, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, or wherever quality podcasts can be heard. And also, you can find us on all the social medias. Just look for Realm of the Mist Entertainment, and I will catch you on the other side.
I'm Michael, the host of the semi-monthly podcast, In a City Like Yours. Join me as I chat with interesting people with interesting life stories. You can listen to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can follow us on Twitter at IACLYS Podcast, as well as on Facebook and Instagram at In a City Like Yours Podcast. Please feel free to let me know what you think. And keep coming back for the many interesting stories in a city like yours.
Hey, this is Don Smith from the Life Radio Show. If you've always wanted to learn more about the world of low-budget filmmaking and even lower-budget comedy, tune into the Life Radio Show. You can live stream the show at WWSU1069.org on Tuesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, or find us wherever you find podcasts and like and follow the Life Radio Show on Facebook for live video and other shenanigans.
Hey, what's up? This is Christopher Stolle of Realm of the Mist Entertainment. The podcast you are listening to is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com. That's s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and information on those shows, as well as information and ability to contact publicist Steve Joyner for more information. Just go to the website and check out the family. Ladies and gentlemen, until then, enjoy the show.
Well, Robert, welcome to Foul Players Radio. It's good to finally get a chance to sit down and talk to you. You know, I got a chance to speak to you a little bit at a Scarlet Angel show about a year or so ago, and I've been meaning to catch up with you, but I'm glad we've been finally able to. So welcome.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here, Mike.
Yep. So it looked like, you know, 2020's treated you about as well as it's treated me when it comes to performing and things like that. You know, my murder mystery business pretty much got shut down right at March. You had mentioned, you know, 2020, you haven't been really acting or making much, but I do see that you've got something on Facebook, actually. Tell me about that. I think I called you Richie Blackmore the other week. what do you have there?
Oh, that was you. Oh, well, yeah. It kind of coincides with the website that I've had since 2008, which is Smash Your Trash Independent Filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And I've taken it to YouTube. Uh-huh. And I do, basically 100% of it right now is movie reviews. Uh-huh. And I've done them as myself in the past. And then I said, oh, the heck with this. I think people want somebody a little bit more interesting, a little bit more over the top. So in my apartment, I've actually built 5 sets.
Oh, okay.
And I do a show that talks about sci-fi and horror indie movies.
Oh, wonderful.
It's called Madhouse Manor, and the character is Madman Magistro.
Uh-huh. Oh, great, great, great. So you review movies with that character, and you get, you know, a lot of banter back and forth from people. Do people, you know, send you comments or suggestions or love what you're saying, or, you know, did you get any feedback like that?
I've been getting some positive feedback. It's still in its early ages. Uh-huh. I'm just happy to have over 1,000 subscribers.
Oh,
at this point.
You know, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with that.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, people will send me their movies. And basically, it's if the movie is independent and it costs less than $1 million, mm-hmm. I'll give it a shot. So I'm going to also be doing some classic indie movies, you know, your Evil Dead, your Halloween, your Phantasms and stuff. Mm-hmm. But mostly it's almost like very low, no budget, prosumer type guys that are out there and gals that mm-hmm. are sending me their stuff.
Oh, okay, great, great. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, people getting a chance to, you know, have their stuff reviewed and everything, and it seems like a fun segment that you have there. I'd love it, you know, if I had my own film out.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a lot of work on my end because, as you said, 2020 has not been kind to anybody, so
yeah, yeah.
I'm a one-man band. I have to do everything, and that's not as much fun.
No, it isn't. It isn't. Actually, I did book one job this year as an actor, but I tell you, it was a heck of a lot different, you know. I mean, you know, you have to social distance out there. The whole crew had masks, and, you know, I had to take my mask off to deliver my lines to put it right back up. Hopefully, you know, we all need to cooperate and participate. And I'm not going to get on my soapbox here, but we need to cooperate and participate and do whatever we need to do to get this past us. And then we'll be fine walking around with nothing on our face, but let's just get through it, you know, for the good of everybody, I think.
Well, I would agree.
Yeah, it's just, you know, once we get through this, then life is normal and hopefully it'll never happen again, you know. So it looks like we've got some friends in common, and we actually have some credits in common, too.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have been in 2 of the same movies. It was working with Lee Dahl, and I tell you, aren't they a great group?
Oh, lovely. I worked with him probably about 4 years back in the 2009, 2012, 13 era.
Uh-huh. Right.
So, yeah, it was nonstop at that point.
It really was. It really was. I kind of came in on the tail end of that and had a couple of small parts. Of course, you know, I knew Kate prior mm-hmm. to that. Actually, it's kind of a funny story how I met Kate. I met her as a teenager, when she was a teenager. She was friends of a daughter of a lady I worked with. She and I had a lot of friends in common and ended up meeting each other. And then, you know, I ran into them and got invited to, you know, do a couple of bit parts in some of Lee's movies. But we were in Rise and Fall in Love, not together, but we were both in it. What part did you do in that one?
Gosh, it was a blink and you miss me. I believe I was the behind-the-scenes stage manager of the concert going on.
Oh, okay, okay. Right, right, right. I was one of the singers auditioning after Luana left the band. As you can see in the movie, the guys were real impressed with me. I just went in there and wowed them.
You didn't look as good as Luana Lee. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I tried. Some things you just got to leave up to Mother Nature, I guess, you know. And then we were both also in No Stopping the Stover. Now, what did you, your part in that, tell us about that. You were you interviewed?
I was interviewed. Well, I mean, I am a good friend of George Stover, mm-hmm. and I've worked with him quite a bit with a variety of people here in the Baltimore area. So, you know, they just talked about, you know, meeting him and getting to know him and our parts. And of course, his encounter with an armed robber and stuff. And, you know, they just wanted my take on it.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I ended up kind of coming in at the 11th hour. I came in because for some reason they needed somebody to do a voiceover for that news segment that talked about when he was attacked. I went and did it and sent it in, and you know, my voice is in there, but my name, Lee told me it was too late to add my name to the final film and everything. But you know what? I didn't mind that. I know it's me. And, you know, those folks are always a pleasure. As a matter of fact, you know, my murder mystery company last year did Polar Express. You know, I always liked Alfred. You know Alfred Guy, right?
Oh, Al's a great guy.
Yeah, he's really awesome. I've had him as a guest on here twice. You want to talk about an encyclopedic? Is that the right word? Knowledge?
You're close. Yeah. You're in the territory that you need to be in. Yeah.
How about a vast knowledge of horror movies? I mean, with all the movies that he owns and everything. And, you know, I actually ended up, he joined our cast last year to do Polar Express last Christmas up on the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad. He was absolutely wonderful. So he is my newest foul player, and the foul player is a Perryville murder mystery troupe. Unfortunately, right before he was supposed to join us and do his first performance, the good old COVID showed up. But Alfred will be joining us, and he will be performing with us as soon as all this mess is over. Yeah, he's another great one, too. You know, he did a lot of good. Did you ever see him do choreography and do the taekwondo and stuff?
Well, yes, I worked on Lee's first action film, The Fixer.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, Al, of course, was the co-star there, and mm-hmm. he did up all the fight sequences, so I got to see that on a daily basis.
Right, right, right. I'll tell you, he's awesome at that. He's about one-third my size, but I'm not going to tangle with him, you know? You know, and they re-released The Fixer this year. Did you hear that? It got re-released.
Yeah, it had a different cover on it and a different name on it. But, I mean, that was great that it's gotten noticed. It was a fun but exhausting thing to do. I was, I think, like the associate producer and co-director on it.
Oh, okay, okay. Now, where did you film a lot of it? Was a lot of that filmed in D.C.?
Well, the Chinatown exteriors were.
Yeah.
Everything else, we actually had a converted studio up in the Columbia, Maryland area.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep. I did some filming with them, too, up at Wayne Shipley's old farm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's where we did the, lead singer audition for Rise and Fall in Love. And it was like a, they had one of the old barns was made out to be like an old saloon or something. And
it was quite the street, the exterior street of a Western town was quite impressive.
Yeah. They used that quite a bit too. I know they had a number of projects going on up there. He's on my list too, to tap, to have on the show sometimes. I'm sure he has lots of, interesting stories and everything too. You know, for some of the projects he's been involved in, and they just had that one come out. God, next, I know Ken Arnold was in it too. What was it? Was it called The Day of the Gun? Was that it?
That was the one with, they've had a couple where they've gotten some actual, pretty high stakes guest stars.
Was that the one with, Eric Roberts?
That was one, the one with Eric Roberts, and then they shot the one after that that had Lana Wood and Robert Carradine.
Oh, yes, 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 that was it, that was it. So I think they were filming that partially out in, like, Berkeley Springs, too, or somewhere around that way.
They moved, yeah, they moved his, I think they were selling the land that it was on, so they moved that western town. Somebody said, hey, you know, put it up over here, so that's where they shot it.
Oh, okay, that's cool, that's cool. You were in the WNUF Halloween special.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest movie outside of what I may have done out in Hollywood, but that's, I mean, it's on Shudder now, it's on in the New York Times and stuff, so very proud to have been a secondary lead in that.
Right, right. I can, I haven't seen the whole thing, but I have seen some bits of it. I want to make that a goal for this Halloween season to get a chance to finally see that. I like what they, I could see what they were trying to do, what they were attempting to do in that movie and everything. I definitely want to see it. And they're nice guys too. You know, with Jimmy and Chris, you know, two real nice guys. I've had the opportunity to, you know, I've met them a number of times over the years and, you know, good guys, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've worked for them, worked with them from time to time, very small things, but yeah, to actually, I mean, there was probably six leads with Paul Fahrenkopf being the lead. Mm-hmm. He's the lead investigative reporter. So it was great to get that kind of screen time in such a creatively done fake documentary or fake television show, as you might say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And those guys are real clever, too. You know, I mean, they just do a lot of really neat things. And, you know, so I'm going to have to make it a point to check that one out, you know. So looking through here, too, you know, as an actor, you've been in a number of the other videos that Luana Lee did, you know, several different mm-hmm. characters there, the actual, you know, full movie of The Adventures of Luana Lee. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Malice. That was one that was a little more recent. It came out in 2018. Tell us about that project.
That I appeared in for to help out a friend, my friend Leanna Chamish, and she's one of the leads of that television show, and that's done, well, web series, I guess you would call it, and that's done by Phil Cook, who's basically a DC filmmaker. Mm-hmm. It's basically, the premise behind it is kind of like a very serious, dramatic fantasy Alice in Wonderland that takes place in present day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it's full of monsters and demons and this and that, and she's got special fighting powers and this and that to take them on, and mm-hmm. my part was very small. I was just basically there to be supportive. I'm like wedding guest number 32.
Oh, okay.
It's like, we need people to fill up the background. It's like, okay.
Right. I hear you. I've had a couple of parts like that myself, too. I've participated in different things as kind of a background and an extra and everything. So I kind of know what you're talking about there. I was looking through here, too. You've got another one, The Terror in the Pharaoh's Tomb.
Yeah, that was for the Savelas, a couple up in northern Baltimore area. They've they've been doing some, I guess you would call it kind of, do you remember the movie Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid?
Yes, I do.
Much lower budget version of basically that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's very much a period piece of the 30s and 40s type of black and white movie.
Oh, okay,
where they mix,
right.
What is it, not stock, but public domain movies.
Yes, I've heard of that before.
With actors.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that before. I've seen that kind of thing before. It's pretty neat how they do that sometimes, you know. Yeah, great. So, so you, it looks like, you know, you've had, you know, a good number of credits here. And again, you know, we've had the pleasure of working with a lot of the same people here. You had mentioned too, that you had done some work out in California for a number of years. You'd been living out there.
Yeah, I was out there from, my first encounter out there was about 1994, but I moved out there from 2000 to 2006.
Okay.
Not to get into the movies. I was actually hired as an artist out there.
Okay.
But I got hired on to a ton of different movies because I was the guy they could trust. I wasn't trying to get my foot into the into the community. I was just there, and it's like, well, he doesn't care, so we can trust him.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wasn't trying to smooth anybody. I was actual genuine friends with the directors and producers out there. So they didn't feel like they had to be on their guard all the time around me.
Oh, awesome. So, oh, it looks like there was another documentary that you were in, I guess, as you're being interviewed, called Blood, Boobs, and Beast.
Yes, my friend Don Doler's documentary.
Okay. Yeah, tell us about that.
Anybody who's in the Baltimore area will hopefully know who Don Doler was. He had a magazine out called Cinemagic in the 70s and early 80s that helped many aspiring special effects people and filmmakers get into legitimate movie making.
Right.
As, you know, I mean, several of them made it out to Hollywood. And also by late 70s, he started making his own movies, which he had some luck on, and they've become cult favorites. And early 2000s, I became a very close friend to Don. We talked weekly. I was still out on the West Coast. He was here, but I helped make some props and stuff for his movies, some art for his movies. I moved out here to help him. And so they interviewed me. They interviewed me when I was on the West Coast, and they interviewed me when I came out here about my experiences with him.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, it looks like a lot of people were featured in this here, too. I can see Dick Dizel. We all, I remember him as Captain 20 as a kid, and he's great. He's great. You know, Count Gore Duvall and Captain 20.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I got to work with him on a couple projects. He's a delight to work with.
Is he? Yeah, I could kind of tell that. You know, I can see that he's that kind of guy. And also, you know, Alfred's told me that he's just wonderful to work with, too. I can remember him. He was, I guess, a lot like Channel or Captain Chesapeake. As a, I used to watch that as a child, too. And I've actually had his, he's passed, but I've had his daughter on this show, Tracy. And, you know, Tracy told me that pretty, it was really only a handful of people running that entire station, you know, 45 when it started. And he was pretty much in charge of coming up with a lot of the programming. So he ended up doing... You know, Cap, it was almost it was almost like a real life version of that Weird Al Yankovic movie. It was called UHF.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just about like that. And I'm sure that I think he was probably in the same boat. I kind of read that, you know, he had a lot of responsibility for the programming. And, you know, 20 WDCA, well, I guess, was kind of a smaller station. And knew when it was starting, you know, when he was on it down there. A lot of fond memories of watching that. You know, he always had Ultraman and
oh, he had a great lineup at the in the afternoon for kids right after school.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I mean, Dick Dizel, he's got his own autobiography video out by C.W. Prather, which is wonderful. It talks about his career, too.
Oh.
So, yeah, yeah, it's Every Other Day is Halloween is the name of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, great, superb guy. I got to know him for several years. He's down in Florida now. But, yeah, he was a close friend of Don's. So, of course, he shows up in several of Don's movies.
Right, right, right. Interesting. And it looks like they talked to Tom Savini. I mean, God, one of the godfathers of special effects and stuff. I mean, it's amazing. His work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, Don's magazine was groundbreaking because not a lot of this stuff was out there about how to do this in the 70s. You know, how do you make a fake head or how do you make a mask or a mold of somebody's face? And with people like him and Tom Sullivan of The Evil Dead, he did all the special. He's absolutely in love with Don. I mean, he had Cinemagic magazine with him while he was on the set of Evil Dead, saying, okay, I do this here.
That's great. That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got to take a short break here. We've got to have a, we have to do a couple of promos here. So you're listening to Robert Long here on Foul Players Radio, and we'll be right back after these words.
Howdy, it's Matt Gwynn here, popping in to let you know about the Adventures of the Albino Rhino. It's a show Frank the Giraffe here, my co-host James Godwin, and myself put on for you guys twice a week. Every Wednesday, we talk to a comedian, and every Friday, we call it Freak Yeah Friday. The show itself is not safe for work, and that freak is definitely a different word. I just don't know what podcast you're going to be listening to this promo on. And I don't want to, start screaming explicatives while you're sitting in your office. If you're lucky enough to have been able to go back to the work that you did before inside of an office or whatever, you know. But we go on an adventure twice a week, and it's a good time because we get to sit down and talk to some really cool people. And I enjoy it because, you know, I'm just curious little albino who likes to get to know folks, you know? You can find us a couple ways. Actually, multiple ways, really. Man, there's a lot of different ways to find us. You can find us through our central hub, which is www.albinorhino.me. It's the website. Find me on. And then, you know, the podcast, you can find the videos on YouTube. Search for Adventures of the Albino Rhino. Also linkable from our website. And you can also find us through Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Radio Public, and Spotify. That's right. We're on the same place Joe Rogan is. Granted, we're not the Joe Rogan Experience, but you know what I mean? We're there. So give us a listen. Promise you won't be dissatisfied. And enjoy your day.
What is going on, minions? Mike here for Misery Point Radio, and you're listening to the Coast to Coast Power Hour on the SJ Network. Now, I know what you're thinking. Mike, what the F is a Coast to Coast Power Hour? Well, my uneducated and uninformed friend, the Coast to Coast Power Hour is a Borg-like collective of epic podcasters from epic podcasts that have all come together to discuss the important things in life. Pop culture, current events, random awesomeness, stuff like that. Trust me, you need this in your life. For more information on this show and all the shows on the Coast to Coast Power Hour, as well as on the SJ Network, reach out to publicist Steve Joyner at www.s-j-network.com or stevesjnetwork@gmail.com. No need to thank me. I'm just out here, you know, changing lives.
What's Your Effin' Binge is a podcast brought to you by Chris, Anchor, and Spotify. And what we talk to our guests about is what they're currently binge-watching on TV. And what we do is we like to take a different approach. I don't want to know what the name of the show is that they're going to talk about before they come on. I have to actually guess it. So I ask them who, what, when, where, why, and try to figure out what it is that they're watching. A lot of times I'm able to guess it, and sometimes I'm not. And that's fine. That adds to the comedy of the show. We like to bring our guest on, whether they're a model or an actress or a producer or musician, and just let them have a platform to be able to tell everybody what they have coming up next, and also entertain everybody with what's worth watching. So I hope everybody tunes in for the next episode of What's Your Effin' Binge. Thanks. It's Chris.
And welcome back. We're here with Robert Long. So, Robert, you know, unfortunately, it looks like this year, you know, I guess due to COVID and all the craziness, you know, with that, you've had a project kind of put on hold this year, huh?
Well, yeah, actually a couple of years, but it really, it's really in limbo this year because of COVID. Yeah, I had a, I want to do a horror movie, a little bit different than your typical one out there. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to get it going since 2015, but of course real life gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to get you lose a job, you have to get a job, this, mm-hmm. that, and the other. And of course, this year, nobody can see anybody. So yep. It's like, how do you hire cast and crew when you can't get within 10 feet of them?
You know, a lot of auditions this year have been done via Skype and by Zoom and a number of other things. But still, that's something you kind of have to get used to as well. It's a little bit different than, conventional auditioning, you know. I mean, the good side.
I don't even really mind that. I mean, a lot of people have done like video auditions and stuff, which is becoming a norm. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you have to have actual physical contact mm-hmm. if you're doing an action movie or a romance or this and that. And right now, the whole game has just completely changed.
Right.
Because you have to be health conscious.
You sure do. You sure do. I know, you know, the one project I had this year, you know, I and everybody else had to go get a COVID test on the day before we shot. And, mm-hmm. and I guess they probably had a pretty deep bench in case somebody did test positive to it. You know, I guess they probably had to have their first, second, and third choices lined up just in case. Yeah. And my wife has actually did something. But the thing is, with the good thing about the project my wife had this year, it was mm-hmm. it was an industrial, and it was a health industrial. So everybody had masks on anyway.
There you go.
Yeah, that was the good part of it. As you were saying, you know, you had, you know, your movie kind of, you know, delayed this year because of this, and I guess you're just sort of waiting this out.
Well, that, and it's just the whole ball of making a movie now has kind of changed. I mean, with the streaming mm-hmm. and this and that, and this is just my own conclusion, but I'm coming to the conclusion that if you're going to do something like this, mm-hmm. and if you're going to, say, crowdfund your budget, basically consider that this may be the only money you make.
I can see that, yeah.
I mean, because distribution companies aren't doing that well right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may promise to get your movie out, but... Right. They're not going to promise you to make any money for yourself because they have to make money. They're the ones making your DVDs, Blu-rays, and doing the streaming for you.
Sure, sure.
So it's like, yeah, it's. I mean, I know some people they're raising $60,000 or $100,000 or something, and it's like, well, our salaries are coming out of this. This is all we're going to see. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to change from here on out. It's like you do it, you love it, but no, whatever you get up front, that's what you're getting besides the experience and the memories.
Right, right. You know, some other things that I've heard too, and this probably, you know, this applies a little bit more to commercials, but there's a number of people out there that are actually having the actors film commercials themselves from home. They have a director maybe guiding them remotely, but I think they're doing like some shooting, which I'm sure you could probably get away with a commercial or something like that in actors' homes, you know, via Zoom and, you know, directing remotely and having the actor film the whole thing, you know? I mean, who saw that coming? You know,
I was just going to say, I would think that would have to be such a nightmare, though, because, mm-hmm. you know, usually on a commercial, you've got somebody scoping out the location or the set, and you've got your gaffers and lighting and stuff, and you've got your actors, and it's like you've got this flat lighting. They're against a green screen, or maybe they're in their home and they've got some weird stuff up on their wall in the background.
Right, right,
and
right.
You know, you've got to try to put together this cohesive thing that looks like it all fits together. So,
right.
I mean, I've seen of course, big companies that mm-hmm. you'll see on the web out there are still doing commercials, and it's like, as we were talking about, maybe off stage here, you know, everybody's got to have a mask on. Everybody's keeping their distance. Mm-hmm. They just get the mask off for their part, and then they have to put it back on immediately.
Right. Yeah, I know. But, you know, one thing that they're asking for in auditions now, too, is a list of equipment that you have and how well-versed you are in using it, you know. I mean, that's kind of a game-changer there, you know. They want to know that you have a good computer. They want to know the speed of the computer and what kind of software you have and, you know, how fast it is and what type of lighting that you own and, you know, the types of lights that you have and that you know how to use them and how well are you at, you know, editing and all that stuff. You know, what kind of microphones do you have? And these are things that some people are actually asking for. Not only do you have to submit a good tape for your audition, but you have to list and show exactly what you're well-versed in. You know, talk about some one-stop shopping, you know?
Well, yeah, and we can get into it when we talk about it, but that's kind of what's happened to happen with my web series, mm-hmm. is that you do, it's like, what camera are you using? Do you have lights? Mm-hmm. Do you have lav mics? Are you just using the camera's mic? Yep. And I do think that puts a lot on the performer. You know, it's like, well, I didn't get into this business to be an editor. You know, I'm supposed to be in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. It's like, how about I just send you the raw footage and you put it together?
Right, right. I know. Very true. You know, I understand you were telling me too that you are involved. You know, you've done some, you know, special effects, you know, in digital ones as well, for some movies and some projects. And those kinds of things fascinate me because I have absolutely no clue how they're done.
Go into a little bit of that. I mean, I didn't do digital effects when I was out in LA. I actually made practical props.
Oh, okay.
And luckily I was on horror movies. So it's like, okay, make a gargoyle chair out of this old chair that we found and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's kind of fun because you've always got to be there in case something breaks and you got to run in with the duct tape and mm-hmm. and get it fixed before the cameras roll again or whatever. Uh-huh. So I was doing physical props and signs and that sort of thing as my secondary job out in LA.
Okay.
But then when I moved here, got into, I know a special effects filmmaker by the name of Mitch Klein. We both worked with Don Doler.
Okay.
And we were working on his last movie with Joe Ripple, well, the last sci-fi one, I should say, called Crawler, which was shot down, which was shot in 2003. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be another creature lands in a small town sort of thing and wreaks havoc. But this time the suit that was made, the makeup and the suit that was made for the actor, it just didn't work. It just didn't gel. It didn't pan out. So rather than scrap the movie, Mitch said, well, let me give it a shot as 3D. Mm-hmm. And that turned out to be, I guess, 15-year process of trying to do shots around real life.
Right.
So Mitch did several iterations of the creature, and sometimes we had to scrap it because we'd get back to it. And the software that we used was now out of date, and it would be too expensive to re-up. And you know, we're making no-budget movies here. You know,
sure,
it's kind of, you know, it's kind of hard to say, yeah, I'll get the license for $1,500 again. You know, he found some actually, I don't know, public domain or something like that type of software mm-hmm. that he used, which turned out to be brilliant, and he did the creature up one last time, and we both integrated it into the movie Crawler. And so his big thing is he did all the character animation and well, his stuff, he did 90% of the stuff as mm-hmm. far as special effects are concerned, and he did a great job. You know, I mean, the creature, it's not going to be Jurassic Park.
Oh, sure.
You know, we don't have a team of 100 people and 100 different computers. Mm-hmm. You know, right. We've got two guys, and one of them's the 3D guy. Mm-hmm. But for what we had, it works really well. It's something that you could see on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Okay, sure.
Right. And, like, my end of it, I was doing stuff in many of the Adobe products, such as Photoshop and Adobe After Effects. Mm-hmm. And this movie has a lot of military screens and computer screens and muzzle flashes and some fire effects and stuff. And that's stuff that I could do because I didn't have to do with the 3D.
Well, right.
You know, you're just trying to make it look convincing.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I tell you, I've taken the only thing that I've really done creatively or artistically when it comes to anything like that is I have made some pretty good props for my murder mystery company. But other than that, you know, and even those were marginal. You know, I have a fellow working with me, one of my cast members, who he was actually a puppeteer for Stu Kerr. Later uh-huh. in his career, his name is Robert Lovett, And he actually did the puppets for 54 Space Corps and a show that was on that wasn't on that long called Pop's Place. There's been a couple of times for shows where I've made the death weapon, where it's, you know, usually something going through somebody's chest, like a knife or a tennis racket or something like that. And he looks at the way, you know, that I attached it to the shirt and I did the blood and everything. He goes, you know, I could tweak this for you, you know. So to put it politely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many tutorials on how to do that now, like mm-hmm. on YouTube, where yeah. you can do it at a budget, mm-hmm. which is fantastic because, you know, it's kind of hard to hire the professionals when you have to do it yourself.
Sure. Have you ever done any haunt act? Do you like haunted houses?
I do. I like the behind the scenes. I think I would get scared to death in real life being right. in front of it. Mm-hmm. I don't like being scared. I love scary movies, but I don't like being scared.
Right.
I don't like somebody jumping out and giving me a heart attack. My whole movie actually is about a haunt, so to speak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's about a wax museum.
Oh, okay.
A monster wax museum. So you got people going through the haunt.
Right.
But other than that, I really haven't done much stuff with haunts. I mean, we talked a little bit about Scarlet Angel and Kim Yates and stuff, and yep. I was going to use one of her places because she does haunt stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I worked for her for 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, great setup. Mm-hmm. I wish she was still in Essex. She's up in Pennsylvania now.
Yep.
The Essex was an actual real building in mm-hmm. a basement,
yeah.
So it was a little bit more controllable.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I mean, she's great, and I still hope to work with her in the future.
Oh, yeah. She's wonderful. She's a lot of fun. She's a real hoot, I got to tell you. You know, I've had a blast everything I've done with her. I've worked at her campouts, and I've did the haunt for 2 seasons, and just a lot of fun. I just have a lot of fun. I like scaring people, you know, and it's not too hard for me either, you know.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's fun to do that mm-hmm. and stuff. I'm not so sure about the extreme haunts. I've seen enough horror movies now to where it always seems to go too far. But that, of course, is the movies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
you know, sign your life and waiver away and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to produce something like that as a feature in the future.
Okay. That's great. Do you have, I guess you've been watching horror movies for a good while now, because it seems like you've reviewed about, you know, 946,000 of them here on your site. And, you know, I was just wondering if you had any particular favorites.
Oh, goodness. My favorite genre is the whodunit slasher.
Okay.
Where it's, you know, it's basically the adult version of Scooby-Doo, where you've got somebody in a get-up that at the end they give their whole spiel of why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's got the creative kills and this and that and cat and mouse chases. My favorite horror movie, on the other hand, is Phantasm.
Okay.
Which is sci-fi horror. And it's like, well, if you like all these so much, why do you like Phantasm the most? And it's like, because it's everything that the late 70s was, and I love it.
Right. Yeah, it really seems like they went through you know, so many different eras and things like that with the types of horror movies that were really mainstream or the most popular at the time. You know, we kind of go from the... you know, we went into, you know, we had the slasher films, then we had the more disaster films, the more Nature Strikes Back films, where it wasn't necessarily a monster, you know, but an animal or nature coming back at man, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, I guess I gravitate towards the more lower budget, be it professional or be it somewhat amateur horror and thriller type things, because you feel you might have a chance to make something like that yourself.
Right.
And to see somebody do it really well, that inspires you. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, they had great, you know, production value and good acting and good effects and stuff. And you try to find out what their budget was. And it's like, this is real. They were really creative with this budget.
Oh, yeah.
That get the most bang for their buck, definitely.
Right. So, I mean, I have, in a small way, tried to, you know, there's crowdfunding out there these days, and there's a couple, there's been a couple that I've shipped a few bucks towards, you know, to help them out, mm-hmm. because I can see that they've got what it takes.
Right. Exactly. You know, two of my favorite of all time, I would have to say, from a filmmaker who didn't really make a lot of movies, but I'm sure, you know, with your knowledge of these, I'm sure you've probably heard of them. His name is Lance Wyler.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard of Lance. What was the type of movies that he made? I might recognize him more by the titles.
One of them was called The Last Broadcast.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've seen that.
Yeah. And then he made one after that was like, that actually came out, I believe, right before Blair Witch did. And it was revolutionary because he did it all on his computer, and it was like an old computer. It wasn't like the new stuff.
Oh, now. Yeah. No, I've actually been very interested in that, that movie. And mm-hmm. yeah, it was basically back when computers were coal powered.
Yep. That's the truth. Yep.
But it turned out very well.
Right. It did. It really did. And then he made one after that. It was called Head Trauma. And I even stumped Alfred Guy with that one. I've actually went out in the garage and I found it out in the tub that I had in my storage bins. And I got it out to send to Alfred because with his basement that looks like a Blockbuster Video, he had never heard of that one. And, so I think that's, you know, somebody who knows every Italian horror movie from the '70s, you're not going to stump him very easily because he has heard of everything.
Al's movie nights are legendary.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, he has a thing. He's on his porch just about every night that it's nice weather watching something, you know? And you know, he's got so much to choose from down there, but, Head Trauma was one that was put out by Lance Wyler, and it was another one of those ones. I'm not going to give it away for those who haven't seen it, but you know how The Last Broadcast had like this major twist at the end? Same thing happened in this one, and you're like, wow. You know, once you figure out what really happened and everything, it just blows your mind. But yeah. I would just say that, you know, if you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and see it, you know. So
I'll have to look that one up, yeah.
Yeah. Then I have to say, my other really favorite one of all time, I have to say well played on the hype, and that was Evil Dead 2. When that came out, if you remember, it was 87, and that, uh-huh. that was right around the time Faces of Death came out. And, you know, Faces of Death had always said on the cover of it, banned in, you know, 230 countries. I think they banned it in more countries than we actually have. And,
well, they made some up just for the movie.
They sure did. Or maybe they went to Old Globes or something. And you know, shows.
Yeah. It's banned in Siam, which hasn't been around for 100 years.
Yes. Yeah. Banned in Bohemia and Prussia. And, so I, you know, I hear this, you know, I get home from work on a Saturday night, and I used to go a lot to the midnight movies to see Pink Floyd, The Wall, and to go see Rocky Horror once in a while, but
sure.
Mostly I was more of a Pink Floyd, The Wall man, if I had my choice. And, then I hear this thing, you know, warning, banned in so many countries, and pregnant women and people with heart conditions and children under 18 will not be admitted. This is the scariest movie you'd ever seen in your life, you know, and all this other stuff. I was like, all right, I'm there. I went and just washed up and I got in the car. I went out there, had my giant popcorn and my giant Pepsi, and I'm ready to watch. And I was laughing my ass off. I had tears running down my face in the first 10 minutes. And I was like, well hyped, well played. You know, you got my ass in here and now I see what it is and it's awesome, you know?
But how were the pregnant women?
Well, they were outside.
They couldn't handle it. Yeah, no, it's I actually have an Evil Dead connection, so to speak. Actually, I'll be honest, I've never seen Evil Dead 2, but oh, okay. I'm a huge fan of the first one.
Oh, okay.
I mean, just, you know, what they did with, like, you know, they say it was always low money, but I hear it's like it was $100,000 or $200,000, which mm-hmm. even back then, I wish I had that kind of dough.
Oh, yeah.
you know, but I was in a movie with Bruce Campbell, so it was interesting hanging with him a little bit.
Wonderful. Interesting. Tell us about that. What movie was that?
It was a movie called Bubba Hotep.
Okay.
Done by Don Coscarelli, who's known for the Phantasm films.
Sure.
And Bruce was playing Elvis.
Okay.
So I got to, because I'm friends with Don and a few of the other people on the set, and I got to be there for a couple of the days, and I got to be a featured extra in the background. I mean, you can pick me out mm-hmm. If you watch the movie. And it was just interesting to see somebody of Bruce's caliber and the workings of low budget out in Hollywood.
Right.
Because low budget out in Hollywood is so much different from low budget anywhere else.
Yeah, it is.
and so, I mean, yeah, you know, I got to meet him. He signed his autobiography book to me and had a nice chat, but it was a fun experience. I can say the biggest movie I've been in was Bubba Hotep, and you can see me for 5 seconds.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's great. I've been in Discovery ID shows where I got that, you know. It's those shows where they reenact a murder or something like that, and, you know, a lot of times they show the people that are playing the people that were, you know, the original people, but then there's other times where they don't. And I was in one where, they showed everybody from the neck down or from behind, or they like blurred everybody, you know? So, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, my part came up and I was this, you know, big giant red, you know, cause I was wearing a red shirt and a pair of khakis. I was like this big red and khaki blur that went by, you know? and
Yeah, no, I mean, the Discovery stuff, those were good gigs if you could get them. I worked on the other end of it. I did the duplication of their discs for them.
Oh, okay.
So I got to see a lot of their shows and investigative this and that. So I got to see a lot of local talent that way.
Right. Was it with, was it Sirens Media?
No, Duplication Center was Video Labs out of Rockville.
Oh, okay, because I remember I went to a number of auditions for Sirens Media over in Silver Spring at the time. At the, it was right next to the Discovery Channel when it was based there. I think they've moved since then, but it was Sirens Media was making a lot of the, Nightmare Next Door and I Married a Murderer and all that, those shows.
That right, that would have been the actual production. We just got their masters and mass-produced it for the channels and the media and stuff out there that they had to be sent to.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah. It seems like there's been, you know, there was quite a bit going on here for a while, you know, with, shows like that. And, I guess, you know, they kind of come and they go, you know, I mean, there was a lot going on with, you know, when The Wire was here and Homicide, and then it's not, but I'm sure it'll all come back one of these days, you know.
Well, it's all, I mean, not to bore people out there, but it's all about the incentives. It's all about being welcoming.
Right,
to,
right.
You know, companies coming in.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to do that, they don't have the incentive to want to set up shop.
Exactly. Yeah. Why why go somewhere? Why add to your burdens? You know, that's, I think all I'm right. going to shoot a film in the most burdensome, unfriendly place possible. How about that? As if we're not going to have enough headaches dealing with weather and all the other unseens, you know?
Well, exactly. But yeah, I forget where we were at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were eventually talking about Evil Dead, and I went off on that tangent anyways.
Yeah. That's fine. How about, you know, for any of the projects, have you ever been at the casting table holding auditions?
Yes, that's an interesting experience. You mean the person that's actually doing the casting?
Yes.
And it's a learning experience.
Uh-huh.
on many different levels, and it also is a humbling experience, mm-hmm. because you also have to learn how to conduct yourself,
mm-hmm.
professionally, and you don't get that the first time, you know, the first time you're doing that, and it's like, okay, no, you got to change this, this, and this about your demeanor. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are you talking about? It's like, no, it's, there's a reason why show business is called show business. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, I've helped cast a lot of the Time Warp films and this, that, and the other, and my own films, of course. And it's interesting to see the people that are really good. It's interesting to see the people that are really wild and wacky. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, are you here just to get a free meal or something? Because you're terrible. That's what you're thinking in your head.
Yeah, yeah. Have you had any anybody commit any major faux pas when they were auditioning for you?
Well, I guess you'd have to wonder what would be a faux pas. I've had people that have just been downright strange. you know, but seriously, we were casting for one back in around 2009, 2010, mm-hmm. and the guy is basically coming off as like William Shatner doing James T. Kirk. you know, he didn't ask us how to play the part. He didn't mm-hmm. ask us about the part. He just went right into reading it, mm-hmm. and it took everything in us to keep from bursting out laughing.
Right, right. Oh, jeez. Yep. I've had a lot of similar stories with bands I was in. Not so. I've never really done much casting. When it comes to my my productions and everything. I do go on a hell of a lot of auditions myself, you know, and it seems like the ones that I thought I completely screwed up, I end up getting, and the ones that I and the ones that I think, you know, are, you know, that were a complete slam dunk, I just never hear about, you know. It's just a strange thing. Maybe I came in second or something like that, but, you know, or somebody came in at the last minute and, you know, the person after me was better, you know, but...
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with the filmmaker, especially mm-hmm. at this level. And they're looking for a certain thing. Yep. And it's on the casting side's responsibility of, you know, telling you, please read it as if this kind of thing, and please mm-hmm. try to give me this kind of performance when you're reading it.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll just let you cold read, and it's like, well, give them some context.
Right, right, right.
You know, so you can get a better performance out of them, but so many people don't do that. Mm-hmm. And it's up to also the performer to say, how would you like me to do this?
Sure, sure. Encouraging people to ask questions all the time, you know, that's really that's really the name of the game, you know?
Well, it shows respect on both sides. It shows, okay, I'm interested in this. Mm-hmm. This is your movie. How would you like me to portray this? Mm-hmm. You know, and of course we get all those, a lot of people out there that you're just, like I said, we burst out of into laughter after they had left.
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
we, I know. It's just, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. Yeah, you know, it seems like, you know, even though, you know, not everybody's particularly good at it and everything, it seems like that there is a much more of a knowledge of the etiquette of auditioning when it comes to, you know, coming out for an acting part, whether it be theater or a movie or a commercial or whatever, as compared to bands. I mean, one thing that I used to remember, and this was, you know, going back a number of years, that you would get a lot of guys that would just want to say, I went and jammed with these guys, or I used to jam with those guys, as compared to, and the thing was, it was like, no, you didn't. You came down and you auditioned and you sucked. And, but the thing is, it's like, you know, somebody will come down and they'll play a song or two with you and they think that they're in. And, you know, they don't understand, you know, as it's well known in, you know, acting, don't call us, we'll call you. You know, they think right. that they think that it's in the bag and they're, you know, one of the boys and they're ready to go and everything. And, you know, I've had a couple of people that were just like, you know, complete nightmares, because not only did they think they were in the band, they never left. They wouldn't leave, you know, and we're like, well, look, we have some other people to see. What do you mean you got other people to see? I'm in. I'm the one who did. No, not even close. You know,
I guess I was lucky. I've been in maybe two bands.
Oh, okay.
Two rock bands back in the day, mm-hmm. and they were all friends.
Sure.
Right, so right, it right. was not like, I mean, music music crowd and bands and that, that's a completely different thing from like actors, mm-hmm. because you really have to have chemistry. You mm-hmm. have to know that you can become friends and professionals with these people, mm-hmm. and you have to have the talent.
Right, right, right. That's very true. That's very true. You know, but yeah, there were just so many clowns, and we had so many, you know, just Spinal Tap moments from that over the years with people coming down, and geez a whiz, you know, I've told these stories in at length, you know, in a lot of other episodes here, so I'm not going to torture my listeners with that again. But it's just a
now yeah. they're suffering just listening for me.
So I'm looking over your website here, and it looks like, you know, you've got a lot of nice features on here, a lot of things people, you know, into you know, movie making and movies would really enjoy here. You know, you've got a lot of reviews.
Thank
and,
you. Yeah,
tell us about some of the other things on your site here.
Okay, well, basically the site was going to be a book back in the early thousands, mm-hmm. but the problem is that you make a book and it's already outdated because new equipment and stuff has come out. So mm-hmm. I decided to make it a website instead.
Oh.
And yeah, so the majority of it, Smash or Trash Independent Filmmaking, is reviews right now, because actually reviews are the easiest thing to do mm-hmm. out of everything that I do on there. Because I think we were talking about this earlier, being a one-man band, I have tried to have people on to help, mm-hmm. but so many people just want to slam movies mm-hmm. or, and that's not what I'm about. I'm about trying to make people better filmmakers within the budgets that they have. Mm. And so I'm not looking to like just completely bury people down into the ground. I've done it to the movies that deserve it. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But no, I've got that. I've got a lot of interviews up with performers and directors and special effects people. People like Tom Sullivan from The Evil Dead.
Oh, sure. Okay.
You know, and people like George Stover and Don Doler, Kevin Kangas, who is a huge filmmaker out here in the on the East Coast. So, I mean, so it's got the interviews, it's got the reviews. And then the third thing, which I need to get more on, is not more on, but more on,
yeah.
Is the how to's, because I want to be somebody that can show people how to do this on a budget with what they have and make it look more professional, whether it be camera or makeup or props or sets.
Great. And tell us the name of your website.
Well, it is www.smashortrashindiefilmmaking.com. Basically, if you type something remotely close to that in, it'll be the first thing that pops up.
Okay.
And you're right. It does have a lot of it is like you were saying, like the advice column and this. It's I'm trying to be an eye opener to people that this is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
This passion, this hobby, this business. It's like, do it because you love it. Don't do it because you're going to make money.
Right.
You're not. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of hard work.
Oh, it is. And, it is.
You know, you're dealing with a lot of different egos and a lot of different personalities,
mm-hmm.
but you can't do it all by yourself.
Right.
So you have to be a little insane to do this in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, that's where I was going with that, is that I just want to help people make better movies, because I don't like watching bad movies myself.
Sure, sure. I understand
I mean, there's people out there that they love to do that, and it's like, yeah, but I don't have the college crowd getting together with beers to watch a bad movie.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I'm by myself. I want to watch something that is like, well, there went 80 minutes of my life I'll never see again.
I know.
But that's also gone into what the web series is, which is mm-hmm. Madhouse Manor.
Right.
On YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's on the Smash or Trash channel there, you know, and I've just basically done some as myself, but I noticed I was just a little bit stiff and I was a little trying to be too professional. I wasn't mm-hmm. engaging. So I've come up with this character from my movie, Madman Magistro, mm-hmm. and I've built these sets. You may have seen pictures of the sets, and people are like, that laboratory looks amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like, how did you build that? And it's like, it's cupcake holders.
Yeah, I know. You do get real creative, you know, sometimes, you know, just, you know, finding things and the things that you come up with to use for different things. It's really, really something. So again, it's really been great having you, getting a chance to catch up with you and having you on the show. Any last things you'd like to plug or plug again? Go for it right now and be as shameless as you want to be, because that's what it's all about here.
Nice, shameless plug. Let's see. Yes, well, I mean, definitely check out my YouTube channel, folks. My moniker on there is 1966 TV Batman, mm-hmm. and the biggest channel that I run is Smasher Trash Television. That's where you can see Madman Magistro talk about all these quirky sci-fi and horror movies. Mm-hmm. And also www.smashertrashindiefilmmaking.com, where we go into depth about props, sets, mm-hmm. costumes, interviews, etiquette, reviews, everything and anything under the sun for movies that are $1 million or less.
Right, right. Okay. Okay, great. Great. Well, wonderful. Well, look, you know, best of luck to you. And let's hope we all get through this mess as soon as possible. We can get back to normal just as soon as we can here. And it's been a pleasure, you know, again, meeting you and having you on the show and everything, Robert. Thank you, Mike. Well, thank you. And thank you all for listening. We've had Robert Long here on Foul Players Radio, and we'll see you next time.
Hey everybody, it's John Orlando from the PBD Cast. Are you wondering where you can find my podcast? Well, it's real simple. Just go over to pbdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or it's available through all of those major podcasting platforms. Just search for it in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, iHeartRadio app. And don't forget that every single Monday night at 8 o'clock, I do a live broadcast of the week's episode of the PVDcast through the Facebook page. Just go over to Facebook.com and search for @PVDcast and join me every Monday night at 8 p.m. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. So I'll chat at each and every one of you later.
This podcast is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and for contact information on publicist Steve Joyner.